الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences pertaining to reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat and Salam. Peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our beloved master, our intercessor, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, we come to know that the one who recites Durood Sharif in abundance, he will have the honor and privilege of being close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is something that we all want, we all desire so. We all yearn to be in the blessed company of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, not only on Yawm al-Qiyamah, but in Jannah as well, inshallah. And how do we attain this? The Prophet alayhi salam said, أَوْلَ النَّاسِ بِي, the most closest to me, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the Day of Judgment, is the one who recited the most salawat upon. Meaning in this dunya, this is the time we have, right? In this dunya, whilst we're alive, whilst we're breathing, we can recite as much Durood Sharif as we want, it's up to us. So, taking our every breath as a valuable gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should recite Durood Sharif in abundance, inshallah, to become worthy of the blessings mentioned in this narration. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a few moments that I have, we'll speak about a great scholar of this ummah. As you know, alhamdulillah, the scholars of this ummah, the righteous ulama, are the inheritors of the prophets alayhim as-salam. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the inheritors of the prophets alayhim as-salam. And then he continued and he said, the prophets alayhim as-salam do not leave dirham and dinar like other people. It's the norm to leave behind wealth and assets and inheritance for your family. But the Prophets alayhi wasalam are different in this regard. What is their inheritance, that special inheritance that we should all try and obtain and acquire? Meaning there's no takhsis, there's no restriction or specification that only the ulama can obtain that wiratha of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Everyone in their own capacity can attain a share of that wiratha, the inheritance of the Prophets alayhim as-salam, and that is knowledge. Now whoever gains a larger share, he is the one who is more blessed, of course. And that's why throughout the ages, Allah has blessed this ummah with many noble, righteous scholars, imams, giants of the ummah, memorized hundreds of thousands of ahadith. Today, our situation is such, we forget things that happened a few days ago. Our memories have weakened. Our stomachs are weak as well. So many weaknesses. But, alhamdulillah, when you read about our illustrious ulama, the eminent ulama, you will find that they were encyclopedias and libraries of knowledge in and of themselves. Their hearts were treasure chests of knowledge. Knowledge regarding the deen, Quran, hadith, tafsir, fiqh, ulumul hadith, ulumul shara'iyya. From these scholars, one great name, one giant of the ummah is Hujjatul Islam, Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Born in 450 Hijri and he passed away in 505. Didn't live a lengthy life, meaning 70, 80, 90 years. But Allah Ta'ala gave him so much barakah in that life which was just over half a century, that he left behind such works that alhamdulillah we are all benefiting from today. And the great thing about Imam Ghazali is that he was a person who had it all, as they say. He was offered the highest seat in Jamia Nizamia in Baghdad. Jamia Nizamia was the hub of knowledge in the 5th century. What happened was Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi had a realization that, wait a minute, is this what life is all about? Fame and acclaim and people coming to you from far and wide, people honoring you, respecting you, kissing your hands. This is what it was for Imam Ghazali. Imam Ghazali is that scholar that in his time, whilst alive, people would quote him as a dalil, as a hujjah, as a burhan to prove their point. They would say, Qala al-Ghazali, Ghazali has said this. Normally that happens after someone's passed away and they've left behind works. People use those works to support their viewpoint. But in his time, Imam Ghazali was being quoted by great scholars. You know, Ghazali says this. He was a mujaddid of his time. But then, when he was only in his 30s, he was still young. We consider that not very old. He left that post and he preferred to go into seclusion. And he traveled far and wide. There's a famous account regarding Imam Ghazali that once he traveled somewhere and the highway robbers, bandits, they came, they looted the caravan and they stole Imam Ghazali's books that he wrote. And he pleaded to them. And he said to them, look, it's only books, Islamic knowledge, what use are these books to you? Meaning you guys are robbers and thieves, give me my books back. And they said to him something which was so profound, and it had a massive impact on him. They said to him that you claim to have knowledge, people speak of you, and all your knowledge is confined to books, meaning without books you're nothing, right? And that made Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi realize that knowledge, okay, you can find it in books, but you should preserve it and commit it to memory as well. So they gave his books back, he went back, and it says in his biography that he memorized all his own works. Again, this is a testament to his memory, phenomenal memory. The precision in his memory, photographic memory, you could say. People are blessed with that kind of memory. We have many scholars who fit that category as well. So Imam Ghazali began memorizing all his works. He was on his travels, he traveled far and wide. He was in Syria as well, Damascus. And what made him leave there was that he overheard ulama sitting in a circle mentioning his name. That Ghazali says this regarding this point. Because he was on a journey, he was a wayfarer, he was trying to discover himself, meaning come to the realization of what is the purpose of the dunya on a deeper level, he left that masjid. Meaning he could not stand people praising him. This is what happened. So he went from being the lead scholar in the Islamic world to someone who wanted to be unknown. And when you study his works like Minhajul Abidin, Ihya'u Ulumiddin, other works of his as well, you will find that that's a key concept and theme in his works, that one should try and know himself, recognize himself. And if he does not recognize himself, he cannot truly recognize Allah. That's why there is a narration that man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu, that whoever recognizes his own self, then he can truly recognize Allah. He gains true ma'rifah of Allah. When he realizes that in the court of Allah he is but a creation, then all of this fame, this praise, this madh, this does not affect a person, people criticizing him. So Imam Ghazali He wrote books upon purification of the self. Purification of the spiritual heart. And as I said, this is a key theme in his works. He speaks about the various obstacles in the path of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He speaks about self-conceit, loving oneself. And this is a disease that's affecting us today, where people admire themselves. Whereas when we deflect deeply, we realize that we have no real worth. In the sight of Allah, Allah Ta'ala is our creator. He created us. He is the one who blessed us with life itself. If Allah did not give us life, we would not have any of the blessings thereafter. This intellect that we boast of, intelligence or wealth or status or rank or anything, none of this would have come about if Allah had not created us. So that itself tells us that we must be humble. That itself tells us that we ascribe and attribute every blessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you read the works of Imam Ghazali, you will find this. Imam Ghazali is like a doctor, physician, and he's diagnosing our illnesses, the things that we are affected by. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmah refers to Imam Ghazali as Hakimul Ummah, the wise one from this Ummah. And he speaks about how subtle diseases like ostentation can creep in. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned ostentation, riya, referred to it as ash-shirkul asghar, minor polytheism. And he alayhi salatu wasalam said, which is an overview of a hadith, that it's so hard to detect riya, more harder than seeing a black ant crawling in the dark night. And it can creep into someone's heart. The person begins to show off and fall into ostentation. Similarly, arrogance. Imam Ghazali mentions examples of arrogance. And then he doesn't leave us to ourselves. He doesn't just diagnose the illnesses. He doesn't just talk about love of the dunya. He doesn't just talk about love of wealth. He doesn't just talk about how these diseases are affecting us day and night. He goes beyond that, like a true inheritor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does. He goes into the ilaj, the cures, the antidote. What do we need to rid ourselves of these things? And in most cases, it comes back to this, that we should realize that we are something minor and minute when it comes to the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, we are nothing. We shouldn't fall prey to these diseases. Secondly, when he discusses the dunya and how the dunya traps a person, Imam Ghazali rahimahullahu ta'ala speaks about how this dunya is impermanent, meaning it's not everlasting. It will not remain forever. As we know, Sayyiduna Israfil alayhi salam has the horn in his mouth. He is just waiting for the hukam, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he blows it, that's it. Everything will perish. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. The Qadeem, the Baqi, the one who is beginningless, the one who is pre-eternal, the one who is everlasting. So Imam Ghazali touches upon these things. And he says time and time again that, O people, don't tire yourself, don't exhaust yourself in pursuit of the dunya. Why? Because you are here today, gone tomorrow. Every single day we hear about the deaths of young people. And I'm not saying elderly people. You know they pass away anyway. That's the way life is. You're young when you reach adulthood. Normally a person reaches old age. But today, in this day and age that we live in, every single day there is a khabar, there is a news. So-and-so was at the peak of his hours, as they say. He was in his prime. He passed away. So when you come to this realization that nothing is guaranteed, and this dunya, the Prophet alayhi salam beautifully described it, and he said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min." This is like a prison for a believer. Jannatul kafir. It's like paradise for a disbeliever. So when we know that this dunya, with all its attractions, with all of its beauty, it's only there to lure us in. to entrap us, to ensnare us, we fail many times. Otherwise, those people who truly work towards the hereafter, yearn for the hereafter, they are busy in accumulating good deeds. And I finish with this, that a scholar was once asked by a student of knowledge. The student of knowledge was an Islamic student of knowledge, studying Quran, Hadith, Tafsir, etc. He said to the scholar, "Alhamdulillah, all is well and good, but at times we can't help but feel that we have not excelled in the dunya. Because when we see our college friends, other colleagues, family members, relatives, they got this job, they have this career, they live in this area, they drive this car," he begins to count all of these things. And he says to the scholar, "That can't help but feel that I have failed when it comes to the dunya." And that scholar was someone who had immense wisdom. He answered him and he said, "Look, I will ask you one question, that in return for all of the things that you just mentioned, in return for a luxury house, a new car, a particular job, are you willing to trade in all the good deeds that you have accumulated whilst on this journey of seeking sacred knowledge? All those good deeds, all those fadail and virtues that are mentioned in the hadith, where our Prophet ﷺ has clearly stated the superiority of a student of knowledge over others, are you willing to trade those good deeds that you have accumulated for all of these worldly luxuries and things that you have counted, and because of which you feel left out, you feel you failed?" And the student of knowledge said no. He didn't hesitate, he said no, of course not. So this tells us that the dunya is fleeting, whereas what Allah Ta'ala has in store for the people, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, this is the best and it's everlasting. So this dunya, we live in it. Yes, we must work for it, but it should be in accordance to how long we are going to live in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the spiritual blessings of Imam Ghazali, Hujjatul Islam, rahmatullahi alayh, and enable us to live a life which we can reflect on the Day of Judgment when we read our Book of Deeds and we're proud of it. We look at our Book of Deeds and we think, "Alhamdulillah, Allah allowed me to spend X amount of time learning the deen, studying the deen, practicing the deen, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And of course it goes without saying, we don't want to be amongst those who open our Book of Deeds and find very little good deeds in there and over-involvement in the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the blessings of our a'imma, our illustrious scholars of this ummah. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.